Children, after I decided I'll keep this till after, and if you want to meet me at the back foyer, you're welcome to enjoy a few of these. And I'm curious to know how old the children are going to be. All right. This evening, I trust you had a good day, a day that you can look back upon and think that you are in the right standing with God and anticipating life eternal if he calls you home tonight on the way home. I had a good day. I had an enjoyable day, relaxing day. And I want to say thank you for your warm welcome and hospitality. I have really enjoyed my few days here, and I certainly look forward to spending more time with you and getting to know you better. As the youth were singing, I was challenged. There's a song that they were singing that they said, "We bow down. We bow down." And on that emphasis, then we crown him king. Do I really? Do I really? How many of us in spirit and in heart bow down before Almighty God and just crown him and bless him? This evening, I want to talk about one word, and that is believe. I want to say, friends, this evening, that I've heard this word many, many times, and I did not realize the magnitude of it, and I'm sure that I cannot do total justice to it this evening as well, but I will endeavor to expound upon it and to help us understand. Because this word this evening, friends, has the capacity to revolutionize our very being. Jesus Christ brings a revolutionizing grace into our lives. A revolutionizing grace, what I mean, friends, is it has the capacity to totally, absolutely change you into a person that you are not capable to be without the power of God within you. A revolutionizing grace is meant to work the work of God in the soul of man. I trust that every one of us here tonight have asked this question. What must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? What does that imply? When somebody asks, what must I do to be saved, what does that imply? That implies that you are in a place that you want to and need to change. You are not in a very safe place. And so therefore, there is something that is stirring in your heart that you are asking, what must I do to be saved? Well, there was two men in the Bible. They were out preaching the gospel. They were busy in the things of God. And then there was this damsel that came to them that was possessed with a spirit of divination. And she was bringing a great profit to this franchise, and she followed these two men, Paul and Silas, and she was saying this, and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which shew unto us the way of salvation." What a call, what a ministry, what an acknowledgement to realize that what must I do to be saved? This lady, this damsel, She had that in mind, and she acknowledged and realized that these are men of the Most High God. And Paul, he turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that same hour. But there were some people that weren't very happy because their prophets were in jeopardy. Their prophets were in jeopardy. And they took these two men, Paul and Silas, and they brought them before the magistrates and all those, and saying, these men are troubling our city, and they put them into prison. And guess what they did? They started singing praises. And you know the story. And then what happened was, this innkeeper, or jailkeeper, had a question. And he called for a light, and sprang in there, and seeing that they were gone, or that the doors were open, they thought they were going to be gone, came trembling, fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And what is the answer? What is the answer to that question? Help me out, anybody. Repent, okay? Believe on what? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. It sounds very simple, doesn't it? There are, and I want to tell you, friends, tonight, I shudder at the thought of how simple some people make this word believe. There are people tonight that I believe with all my heart that they have said from their mind that they believe in Jesus Christ. And on those premises, they do believe that they are saved. I am not here to judge this evening, but I want to say there are some evidence in many people's lives that make this profession that they are not saved. What does this word believe mean to you? What does this word believe mean to you? Does it mean just a mental assent? Yep, I've heard it all my life. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe in Jesus. You give that mental assent and you believe that that there is Jesus and you're saved. Is that all that is required? Dear friends, this evening, it is more than just a mental assent and believe that there is a God and there is a Jesus and there's a Holy Spirit. There is more. And you know what, friends? This word believe is very, very powerful. In the Gospels, this word, in all the Gospels, or no, let me say it this way. In Matthew uses this word believe 10 times. Mark uses it 10 times. Luke uses it 9 times. And you know, John, he uses this word believe 99 times. And it's more, friends, tonight than just a mental assent or a mind believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It is more. Yes, it is. There is two aspects that I want to talk about tonight on this word believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. There are many people, friends, there are many pulpits tonight that are preaching the gospel saying that all you have to do is raise a hand in acknowledgement that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and you're saved. There are many pulpits saying tonight that all you have to do is fill out a card in the back of the pew in acknowledgement that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and you're saved. And I want to tell you, friends, that there is a deeper meaning to this word believe more than just a mental assent. There are two things that when I looked up this word, there are two aspects of the word believe. Number one is faith. And the second one is credit. And I'll explain that. Faith and credit are the two components of the word believe. Faith is a revolutionizing thing. And I want to say, dear friends, tonight that without faith, we cannot please God. It is important for us to understand that faith has a revolutionizing capacity from God. Faith has the capacity to upset the whole life of an individual and make him into another person completely. Faith, it lays hold on a life and brings him under obedience to Christ. My question is, a gauge that you can use to know whether you believe, whether it's more than just a mental assent that Jesus is the Son of God, I want to ask you, from the day that you became a Christian, what has changed? Has something changed? There's some that heads are going this way. What has changed? Christianity, my friends, is completely opposite of the world. And I want to say, friends, there are people tonight that are saying, oh, yes, I believe. I have raised my hand, etc. Oh, yes, I believe. But they have their hand stuck on the things of this world. They are not able to separate themselves from the appetites of this world. They still have an extreme gluttonous appetite of the fatness of this world. Not realizing, dear friends, that the fatness of this world is intoxicated with demonic powers from hell. And hence, it's going to bring you and me to death if we do not separate ourselves from the things of the world. Do you realize, friends, that faith loves what God loves and hates what God hates? This is serious business, friends. And if your love has not changed from the day that you made the profession, if you will, then I question your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I want to tell you, I want to give you this illustration. Before I was a child of God, before I was born again, before the anointing of the Spirit of God came, I had an exorated mouth, filth from top to bottom. Every emphasis was filth. My lips, my mouth, my heart, my mind was exorated. I won't forget the day that I committed my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, and the anointing of the Spirit came upon me, and I was convicted. That was the first thing that God did. He took away my exorated mouth. And I will never forget with my co-workers. And I stumbled for words because I was so used to all the adjectives that I added into my vocabulary were filled. And I still remember, conviction came in and the appetite for that was gone. And I remember talking here, and something got me excited, and I had to search for words to fill those gaps. There was gaps. There was holes in my vocabulary that I felt had needed to be filled. And I want to tell you, friends, it was, I believe, approximately 5 years after I was saved that I was ordained to the ministry to preach the gospel. And there was times when I went to preach the gospel that I prayed to God, please, Lord, don't let any ungodly word slip from my mouth in the process of preaching. I was petrified at times. That's how bad it was. But I want to tell you, and I'm using this as an analogy, what has changed from the time that you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Have your appetites changed? Or is your faith an expression from the lips, and that's about it? The anointing of the Spirit of God is going to change a person. Yes, it will. I will never forget. I was working at a fertilizer company at that time, and there was about a 90-foot elevator leg there, or bucket elevator, whatever you call it here. Excuse me. And we were up there changing one of the big chains up there, and I know how connector links look. There's that little flat piece on a connector link. And we were up there 90 feet up in the air, and that connector link lock fell all the way down to the bottom. And so me and Brett was the guy's name. We had to crawl all the way down, and we were on our hands and knees below this elevator looking for this little piece that fell. And I just looked, and I looked. And Brett looked over to me, and he said, Willis, did something change? And I said, yes, why? You're not cursing. You're just patiently looking for that peace. Did something change? And he's not a man of God at all. But he recognized this was days. He couldn't believe the difference. God is in the business of changing the heart and the mind through faith. What does it say? By grace are ye saved through faith. And grace, let me describe it this way. It's a simple analogy. Visualize God in heaven. Almighty God sitting on his throne. And he has a storehouse full of power. And that power we will call grace. How are you going to receive that power that God has? You are in need of that grace to transform you into a different person. You do not have that capacity yourself. By grace are ye saved through faith. You need what God has in order to be saved. But how are you going to get it? By turning your back? Oh, wow, this is a wonderful place around here. Yeah, I remember there's such a thing as Jesus Christ. And God is sitting over there with a storehouse full of power that wants to transform you, and you have your back turned on him. Will that work? And talking about Jesus, knowing about Jesus? Is that it? Oh, yes, I gave a mental assent that there is Jesus. But you still have your back turned on God. If you want to, by grace, are ye saved through faith. Faith is this simple. More than an acknowledgement that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Jesus Christ is sitting between you or between me and God with his hand outstretched, wanting your hand in his. It's this simple. You put your hand in the hand of the Savior. What does that demonstrate? That demonstrates faith. Okay? This does not demonstrate faith. This demonstrates selfishness. But the minute I put my hand in the hand of the Savior, now grace will flow through this channel of faith into my heart. It's that simple. But I'll tell you, your hand is not in the hand of the Savior if you are busy doing things of the world, filling yourself with the appetites of this world. I'll tell you, you can make all the professions in the world, but till you through faith place your hand in the hand of the Savior, you're destined to hell. That's it. By grace are ye saved through faith. And faith is a dynamic aspect of belief. It lays hold of a life and brings him under obedience to Christ. And I want to tell you, friends, if you can profess knowledge of Jesus, you can profess faith, but if you are willfully going against God's ordained will, and you're living a life of disobedience, kiss your profession goodbye. It doesn't mean a speck of thing. Nothing. Profession and good intentions will not get you to glory. Obedience to the will of God is evidence of faith. Disobedience is not a demonstration of faith. You cannot tell me that you believe in something that you are disobeying. Do you understand what I mean? No way. Faith, it takes up the cross and follows Jesus with no intentions of going back. That's faith. It's called commitment. Now, you know another thing that faith does? It says goodbye. Take note. It says goodbye to the old friends. You understand? Faith in Jesus Christ says goodbye to the old friends. I tell you, if I would not have said goodbye to the old friends, I would still be sitting in the bars. I would still be a movie junkie. I would still be involved in pornography. Do you understand what I mean? Faith says goodbye to the old friends. How does your Facebook look? How does your Facebook look? Out of your however many friends you've got, I want to tell you, my dear friends, I believe I could go in 98% of Mennonite Facebooks, and one click, I could be with a person that loves hardcore pornography. One click, and I could be with a man that loves hard rock. In over 90% of all Facebooks, one click. And you say that you don't love the world? What's the evidence? Jesus Christ said, I am not come to unite. Jesus Christ said, I am come to divide. I am come to divide either even fathers and sons, mothers and daughters. Yes, Jesus Christ is going to come and divide righteousness from unrighteousness. Amen? And if we do not faithfully abide by the call that God has called us to do, and we are still induced with the things of this world when Christ will return, there is no hope for a man and a woman that love the world and cannot separate themselves from the world to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And I have discovered that Facebook is a very good tool to get right into the heart of man. There is some shenanigans on Facebook, and I'm only using Facebook. It can be Xanga, it can be MySpace, it can be let's just call it social networking. It's not all bad, but there is a lot of bad. And you all look pretty good in these pews here tonight. But I'm going to ask you, are you willing to allow a brother, a father, whether I'll use William here as an example. Are you willing to invite William as a friend? Are you? More importantly, are you willing to have Jesus as your friend on Facebook? Facebook can be a very powerful tool, and I want to be very clear. I'm not just picking on Facebook. I am saying faith says goodbye to old friends. You know what another thing does that faith does? It turns the world into a desert. Faith turns the world into a desert and draws heaven into sight for the believing soul. Is the world a desert in your mind? Is the world a desert in your heart? Is it parched? Is it dry? Or are you picking out these juicy, desirous, gluttonous things out of the world? It makes a man, faith makes a man very little, and God big, and Christ unspeakably dear. Let me repeat that. Faith makes a man little, and God big, and Christ unspeakably dear. How's your faith tonight? Is Jesus Christ unspeakably dear? It is a disturbing thing to me, and I'm talking to myself. It is a disturbing thing when I at times find myself, just really pursuing the things of this world, and my lights come on and say, hey, what am I doing? What direction am I going? And we must do that from time to time, repeatedly, evaluating our pursuits, evaluating our desires, evaluating our expressions, and it will tell us the depth of our faith. Once I get big, God gets very little. Christ is just something to think about. But I tell you, friends, when we really see where that is taking us, then we better wake up and let the transforming grace of God work in our hearts. And it's called repent. I need to repent from time to time to time. Having man little and God big and Christ unspeakably dear is quite different than the view of faith in the broader perspective of things today in North America. Today in North America, people are many pulpits, many people are trying to lift people up exalt them. Psychology is extremely aggressive in lifting people up, lifting people up. Friends, my heart cry tonight is that Adam would die and Christ could live. There's so many people today that are trying to lift man up in the name of Jesus. Well, I want to tell you, friends, my Bible says I must die so that Christ can live. What in the world are we doing to try to sustain life in what must die so Christ can live? You know what, friends? Jesus Christ is called the great physician. And he is in the business of doing surgery. And surgery is not something that people really enjoy. But I remember finding out that there was something wrong in my back. And there was extreme pain. And it wasn't going away. It wasn't going away. So I went to the doctor. So I understand what it means to go to a doctor, not knowing what is wrong, but in pursuit to find out what is wrong. So I go into the doctor, to this physician, and I looked like an old, crooked old man. My back was going up and out like this here, and I was walking in there on a cane. And I walked into that physician, I think there's something wrong. Well, I don't know the details, but I want to say, friends, if he would have says, just kind of looked me over and says, I don't think there's really that much wrong. You know, take a few extra vitamins, a few little exercises, make yourself feel good about yourself, you know, comb yourself good in the morning, and wash your face, brush your teeth, and just, you know, kind of brush up yourself, and yeah, you'll be fine. There's really not that much wrong with you. Just carry on. I would not have been very pleased. But you know, friends, tonight, I believe that there are people that are going face to face with Jesus Christ. And they think they're going face to face with Jesus Christ by going to some people that they respect and have high regards for, to find out that there isn't really that much wrong with them, and they walk away and feeling very good about themselves. Well, I want to tell you, friends, in your spiritual life, if the person that you went face to face with to find out the well-being of your soul, or finding out what is wrong with you spiritually, and that person said there's not much wrong with you, then you have not met a man of God. Then you have not met Jesus. Because any person that comes face to face with Jesus Christ, there is a lot wrong. I'm dead in sin and in trespasses, and there needs to be a transformation. There needs to be surgery. There needs to be a cutting off. There needs to be a separation from the cancerous, whatever it may be, in my soul. God forbid that any man or any woman goes to a lost person and says, there isn't really that much wrong. You know, just acknowledge that I'm a doctor, and you'll be all right without any surgery. Does that work? If I would have acknowledged that, okay, so you're a doctor, so I don't really need surgery. So yeah, I met the doctor, right? Doesn't work. If you meet the great physician, Jesus Christ, there's going to be an operation. And in that surgery, he will put within you a new heart. He won't tamper with that old one. The old one is dead. He'll remove the skeletons and put within you sinew and flesh upon there. And I tell you, there is new life, a new heart. He doesn't tamper with the old. He gives you a new heart. How's your faith? Have you met the true physician that doesn't mess with the old, but gives you, through surgery, a new heart? And you know what? I still remember the surgery. There are people today, and I'm not here tonight to cause anybody to question their salvation. But I want to say, if you do not know that you are born again, do you know that the lights are on here tonight? Do you know that the lights are on? Well, I want to tell you, friends, to be a child of God is walking from a dark room into a room that has light. There's no question. Do you understand? And if there is doubt, then there's time to bow the knee before Almighty God and affirm your soul in the hand of the Savior. And I don't care whether you have gray hair or whether you have none at all. Every knee must bow before Almighty God in order to be saved. That is a demonstration of faith. If you walked to the altar before Almighty God, chewing gum, carelessly dragging your feet, no tears in your eyes, no repentance in your heart, but you acknowledge Jesus, that's fake. That's fake. You cannot walk from a dark room into a room of light and see the sinfulness of your soul with a dry eye. Because the sinfulness of your soul has hell written all over it. And sometimes we need to be reminded not what we're saved to, but what we have been saved from. Was Paul, the Apostle Paul, was he transformed? Yes, he was. What about the pre-Pentecost Peter and the post-Pentecost Peter? Was there a transformation? Was there a change? Yes, there was. And I don't care if you've been warming the pew all your life, whether you grew up in a Christian home, if there has not been a transformation in your life, you are still hell-bound, and it could be hell-bound with a Bible in your hand. There has to be a transformation, friends, in order for it to be a true expression of faith. Now, the second dynamic of believe is credit. Let me express it this way. We manufacture fertilizer, and so when a truckload of fertilizer is ready to go, and then we have a 30-day terms, if you will, or 15-day terms, whatever it may be, we allow a load of fertilizer to go out the driveway on terms. We allow credit. We give the goods in trust that we will get rewarded later. That's called credit. And that is somewhat the same. Jesus Christ invites us to give us our goods, which is our heart, our very being. And he will then, in his time, reward us for giving us our goods. Do you understand? The problem is, many of us have Christ on COD, cash on delivery. I will give you my goods. I will give you my heart if you reward me. Sometimes we say, I will give you my heart. I will give you my business. I will give you all.